Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church Time for Worship. We're glad you could join us, and we hope you enjoy the message from Pastor Dave Barrett.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Trinity. Good morning. Amen. Yes, This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving God, thank you. Thank you for being in our life. Thank you for being in all of our lives and providing us with this family and this friends and this group and the ability to worship here this morning. We have comfort, which we ask for the Vermillion family. We ask that you be with Martha for healing. We ask that you answer each and every one of those prayers out there which we have on our hearts as we say, thank you or help me. We pray, Lord, for those who serve in this community, those who answer the call, police, fire, and EMTs. Be with them and protect them as they serve us. We also ask that we be with our military and protect them as they serve and protect us overseas, wherever they may be. We pray, Lord, for those which are suffering and have COVID. Lift them up and heal them. We pray, Lord, for their families are affected and, yes, again, touch and heal. And we finally, we pray for our country, we pray for our leader, we ask that you be with President Biden and give him and all who advise him the ability of wisdom so that they may lead us forth as we need to be led, the people of God. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Aletta?
Please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them.
Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever, ever, to be performed with faithfulness and upright.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Shall we sing, Be Thou My Vision? Amen. Shall we pray? Living God, you are the giver of wisdom and true discernment, guiding those who seek your ways to choose the good. Mercifully grant that your people, feasting on the true bread of heaven, may have eternal life. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Hear the good news. We have been forgiven, and we are always loved.
Today's scripture lesson is from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. In whatever human endeavor you may be involved in, whether it involves work, your occupation, or whether it involves recreation, or whether it involves in some other club or some kind of business, there are certain words which you learn to use. They're code words. They mean certain things. We all who are in that group understand them. It's a jargon. It's a statement. It's a code. We understand it. Those who are outside do not. And so you end up teaching words which mean certain things. I'm going to give you two examples. Don't call me on Thursday afternoon because I'm busy playing bridge. I won't even answer the phone. For several years, I had to drive up to Mount Pleasant because that's where the club was. We met at a certain restaurant, had lunch, and played bridge in the afternoon. I've had the same partner for about the last 5 years. She's wonderful. She's very forgiving. Since things have changed, we now play online. There is a computer program which we can log into, and yes, it's the same people whom I met in Mount Pleasant for several years, have the same partners, and we can go through. We play the same hands. We know exactly what the score is, and by the end of the time, we've got it figured out who played the best, who played the worst. But in bridge, there are code words. If you don't know them, you're lost. If you do, you're part of the group. You're inside. If my partner bids one no trump, and I say two diamonds, that means I've got a handful of hearts, and she better bid hearts. That's called Jacobi. And then we'll have a discussion about how many hearts to play. If my opponent bids one no trump, and I say two clubs, it means I either have a handful of hearts or a handful of spades. And if she bids one or the other, then we are in great shape. That is called Capoletti. If my opponent bids one diamond and I bid two diamonds, that means I've got a handful of hearts or spades. That's called Michaels. She should bid one or the other. If I bid to her four clubs, I'm asking her how many aces does she have? If I bid to her that's called Gerber. If I bid to her four no trump, that's called Blackwood. How many aces does she have? Did you get all those code words? I know Merle does. We can play bridge now, can't we? Maybe, maybe not. The church is the same. In the church, there are codes which mean certain things, certain words which mean certain places. For example, you're in the sanctuary. You're not just in the great room. You're not in where we worship. You're in the sanctuary. That's a code word. You came through those doors or this door down here and you passed around. That's called the narthex. That's not the entryway. That's the narthex. If you come to the center of the church, if it's laid out more like a cross, the center of the church is called a nave. If you look around, you see all kinds of symbols. Every one of those symbols means something. Where's the dove? The dove is over here, I believe, right? There's the dove. That means the Holy Spirit. The next one over, the flame. The flame is also the Holy Spirit, okay? Up there we have communion, yes. All of those things mean certain words. Have you ever met someone who did not grow up in the Christian church? And then you come to a church like this and you say, this means this, and this means that, and this means this, and they go, wow. Yes, code words for those of us which are in the middle of the group. And we speak of those, and we understand them. Those who are outside are totally lost. The scripture lesson for today is all in code. John Deere Green, John wrote this for you in code. He wrote it for those which were in the early Christian church. Chris read it to you, and I'll be very honest with you. There are pastors which will not preach upon these lines because of what it listens to like for those who are outside. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in me. If you don't understand that's code, you think that's cannibalistic. What are you doing? Eating Christ's flesh? Drinking Christ's blood? No! He's speaking to you in code. Those who are in the group, who are in the Christian church. Look at it again. I am. That's God's name. Christ said, yes, I am. I am God and I am the living bread. I'll get to bread a little later on and explain where that all comes from. But it came down from heaven. That's incarnation. That's Christ coming to you. You eat of the bread and you drink of the wine. And what do we got? You've got communion. Christ is saying to you in code, celebrate communion. When we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, what do we say? Yes, he broke the bread and gave it to them. He gave the cup, he passed and gave it to them, and said to do this in remembrance of me. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. In the Gospel of John, we need to remember, first of all, it was written, tradition says, it was written by a young man named John. John was the youngest of the 12 disciples. If you look on the old picture, Leonardo da Vinci's picture of the Last Supper, he's the one who's the youngest. I think he's sitting right next to Christ. He doesn't have a beard. That's how you know he's the youngest one. Okay? And if you read the book, read the Gospel of John, and I would commend it to you, when you finish reading the Gospel of Mark, which is short and easy, move over and read the Gospel of John. It's much thicker. It will take you some time. You'll have to sit and do a little thinking. It's written in code, yes. And in the Gospel of John, he tells you that, yes, it was written later, and he tells you about certain things, and it doesn't match up at all with what you've read in Mark. So why is it there? Okay? It was written later, written after 70 AD, written after the fall of the temple. There was conflict between Jewish society and Christian society, conflict between Romans and Christians, and so he writes it for those people. But in the Gospel of John, he covers a lot of things, which are everything from, yes, in the very beginning, which is his Christmas story, to this, which is his communion story, to the resurrection. Read it. Beautifully written. It just takes time. Written to those people in the church of the time. Written to those in code. When he says, yes, and the Jews did this and this that, he's talking about Jewish leadership and Christian leadership who had conflicts. Christian leadership said, well, maybe we want to go to synagogue. We used to be Jews. We want to go there. And the Jewish leadership said, no, you're not coming. You're Christian. Get out of here. That's the conflict. When he talks about, yes, the Jewish leadership and says this and that, don't be anti-Semitic. Just know that it's a conflict. Let's move on. Let's talk about John chapter 6. It starts with a story. It says that Jesus and the disciples were with a group of people in a place on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. The place is called Topka today. It is just west of the city of Capernaum. They were on a little hillside. Christ was up there. He had spent the afternoon teaching and preaching and talking to those who were there. And as they sat there, the disciples realized it's getting late in the afternoon. Maybe we want to send these people back to Capernaum, which is not too far of a walk. Walk back and so they can have supper or buy something to eat. So they recommend that. Christ, tell them to go. And Christ says, no, we're not going to tell them to go home. We're going to feed them. You feed them, in fact, is what he says. You go out, you feed them. They said, what? They scrounged around. They found a young man who had brought lunch with him that day. He brought with him 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They brought that to Christ. Christ blessed the bread. Christ blessed the fish. They distributed and they fed 5,000 men, probably 5,000 women and their kids. So we're talking about 12,000 to 15,000 people that day. They fed that many. And they had leftovers. That makes it a good Methodist meal, right? There's always leftovers, right? So they fed them. They fed them bread. Bread. Christ said, I am the living bread. That's where the bread term comes from. I am the bread of life. He fed them bread and fish and probably something to drink. The story continues. We're going to skip that quickly because that's just us when Christ walks upon the water. They come back to Capernaum. And then these same people who had been there in Topka are now in Capernaum, and they run towards Christ and said, Rabbi, 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 where have you been? We were looking over for you. And he looks them straight in the eye, straight in the eye, and he says to them, did you want me to feed you again? Did you want me to feed you bread again? Are you here for a free lunch? Is that what you came for? Or are you here so that I can feed you spiritually? They walk over to the synagogue. They sit. And he says this, I am the living bread. Came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give them and give it to the world is my flesh. Code words. I said to you, I am the living bread. I will feed you spiritually. I will allow your faith to grow. You will understand what the good news is of Jesus Christ. You will accept the Messiah. And with that, you will live forever. Now, when he goes on and he talks about the blood, stop and think about what we say on the first Sunday of each month. We say here, the bread of Christ, broken for you. Right? And here we say, the blood of Christ shed for you. That's what he's referencing. What he's telling you is to celebrate every month, celebrate the fact that Christ came for you. And what's the last thing we said? And we do this in remembrance of him. Code. Code. I'm going to take about 2 other codes. First one is in the first chapter of John. It opens up and it doesn't tell you the Christmas story. It doesn't tell you about Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the camels and all that stuff. It simply says, yes, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was Christ, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He is simply saying to you, the Word, if you like it in Greek, it's logos. The Word is Christ. Christ was at the very beginning. So when you see the word, we're talking about Christ. And then you get down to chapter 4, verse 14, and it says, and the Word came to earth and lived among us. Emmanuel, if you want it in Greek. The Word came and lived among us. That's Christ. So you know Word is Christ. After that, it talks about light. Light and darkness. If you want to come and live with Christ, you are in the light. That's why Bob walked up here and lit the candles. Got all three? Yep, we got all three. And he will extinguish them at the end of the service. And he'll take that light out. And you are to take that light out into the world. Christ is the light. Another code. Another code. All given to you through the Gospel of John. Take the Word and share it with the rest of the world. Take the light out and share it with the rest of the world. And know and remember, every time you celebrate communion, you're celebrating what Christ gave to you, bread and juice, his life. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious and living God, thank you. Thank you for being in our life. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us words of instruction so that we may know the Word is Christ. We may know the light and take it out to the world. We may understand that the bread which you gave to us is something we are to eat and partake and to remember. Be with us now this week as we go from here. Be with us as we share the word, the light, and yes, the bread of life, which all came from you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Shall we sing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his love upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Keep the faith. Spread the faith. Shall we sing? I was going to tell you to smile, but they won't even know, will they?